In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
We know now it's confirmed fact that Democrats use federal agencies, officials, and operatives to try to stage a coup to overturn the last election. Why should it surprise anyone they would now use state and local agencies to try to steal this election? I'm sure you've heard the media say, oh, voter fraud isn't a big deal. Voter fraud is when a person steals a ballot or otherwise votes fraudulently. But election theft is far different. It is when one or a few or perhaps even hundreds working inside the system switch or add tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of fraudulent votes into the system to completely change the outcome. Now imagine multiple teams doing that across multiple states. If voter fraud is purse snatching, election theft is stealing entire bank accounts. Here's a little of what we know. On election night, President Trump was comfortably ahead in five key Democrat-controlled battleground states when suddenly all five quit counting and went offline at the same time and stopped counting for 3 hours. And when they came online, massive number of votes, and in the cases of three states, every single vote was for one candidate and only one candidate, Biden. In Pennsylvania, according to mailing records, nearly 35,000 votes were returned on the same day they were mailed to the voter. More than 23,000 have a return date earlier than the date it was sent. More than 9,000 have no sent date at all, but somehow they showed up. In Nevada, the signature validating machines were turned to such a high tolerance, there effectively was no signature verification. 600,000 ballots went through those machines. The Trump team believes at least 200,000 of those are fraudulent or invalid. Dead people, another thing Democrats and the media tell us is rare, voted by the tens of thousands in this election. According to reports, Dominion, just one of several voting machine companies, deleted 2.7 million votes for Trump nationwide. Data analysis finds that states using Dominion voting systems switched 435,000 votes from Trump to Biden. Even right here in Oregon, the elections director was fired after sharing security and spending concerns. And that's just a few snippets of what's known so far. The extent of fraud in this election is mind-blowing. It's like watching an old infantry charge where they try to get as many people over the wall as possible. They overwhelm the system because they know that it dispirits people. They know people will look at it and think, it's an insurmountable mountain. How will you ever prove that much vote theft? But that's why we fight. We didn't fight the last 4 years to give up now. Freedom is an everyday fight. We cannot give up or America goes away. Are you willing to let that happen? Well, I'm not. I'd like to welcome now Thomas Rainieri. He's an associate who practices construction law. Prior to going to law school, he matriculated at the University of Dallas for his bachelor's degree in politics and went on to earn a master's degree in statecraft and national security affairs. But most importantly, he was an attorney working with the Republican organizations there in Pennsylvania, and he has witnessed some rather questionable things that happen on Election Day. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'd like to mention that you had a great interview on the Daily Signal, and we'll link that up on our show page, iSpyRadio.com, if people want to go check that out. And we really wanted to have you on because Pennsylvania just seems to be ground zero right now for voter fraud and election theft, or at least if you want to undermine the integrity of an election to the point where no one should trust it, Pennsylvania seems to be doing it quite well. We'll get, I think, to the broader issues in a moment, but let's start with what you personally witnessed. You were working in the Pittsburgh area with the Republican National Lawyers Association to get poll and canvas watchers trained and credentialed and in place. So tell us what you personally observed beginning on Election Day.
Sure. So the first thing I observed was, I went to the pre-canvas location, which is where you send your mail-in and your absentee ballots. And in Allegheny County, every mail-in and absentee ballot was sent out with a return envelope that had the address of this location on it. So all of the votes should have been delivered by the United States Postal Service directly to the pre-canvas location. And what I was there to do was myself and another few lawyers from the RNLA, as well as some local people we had recruited to be pre-canvas watchers. We all sort of started to trickle in. And the door to get into the pre-canvas location was this metal door without a handle on the outside, or it was locked. And so you had to knock on the door, and there was this guard on the inside of the door who let you in. And so I come inside after he opens the door for me, and he immediately begins speaking to me. And he's, like I said, he's highly agitated. I could tell that he was upset about something. So I said, I would let him talk to me, because generally, you know, as an attorney, I found that, if someone's upset, they usually have something important to say. Mm-hmm. And that you should let them say it, because you never know how that might change things. So I said, all right, go on, man, talk. Obviously I was, I should have been a little more attentive, especially in the beginning, but I was anxious to get inside the room to begin the pre-canvas watching. But he began speaking to me, and he told me about that the previous night that he had been he's a guard, I suppose, a county worker guard, and he normally works in the control room where there's all these monitors and stuff. But in this instance, he had to come work the door because there was no one else to let people in to watch the pre-canvas. And so he proceeded to tell me that when he was on duty the night before, he had witnessed county workers turning on this massive vote counting machine, which is not supposed to be on until the day of the election. And more importantly, they're running ballots through it. He said they were opening ballots and they were running them through it. Now, that is not supposed to occur until 7 a.m. on election day. Why were they doing that? And also, was that affecting the vote total? Because, the machine counts votes before. Sure. It's a machine. It doesn't think. So if you put something in it, it's going to count it. And since we weren't allowed to look at the machine, we don't know if it started at a zero. So in the beginning of an election day, every canvas machine should start at a vote count of zero, because no vote should have been counted until, again, that 7 o'clock that morning. Now, if they were running ballots through it, I don't know if those can be erased. If they did erase them, I don't know what they did, and that's the problem.
So did they say it was, what did they tell the guard? I mean, did he ask? Did they say, well, we're just testing things? What did they say?
They said that they were removing deceased people from the ballots, and that doesn't make any sense, because that's not how you would do. Removing deceased people from the ballots means, from the rolls, means removing their ballot from being counted. If they're dead, they don't get a vote. So if you die before 7 a.m. on election day, legally you have no right to vote. So you don't get to vote. And if what they were saying is they were removing dead people, that either means, that means one of two things. They were running people who they know had died or would die or whatever, had died before 7 a.m. on election day through, because they know that those votes would get thrown out. Or they were just lying to the guy and said, just told him that to get him to go away. He didn't believe them, of course, and that's why he wanted to tell me. He then immediately began begging me not to tell anyone. And I'm certain that his self-preservation instinct kicked in at that point, once he had gotten through the emotional pain of having watched people cheat. And then he was worried about his job and livelihood. And I'm trying to be as gentle and sort of, I'm not going to say the guy's name,
sure,
or anything like that. But he was terrified. First he was scared and worried and angry, and then he was terrified for his life and his job.
Sure.
I
can imagine they would be. Unfortunately, let's go ahead and take a break right here. But trust me, this is just the start of the day here, and there's plenty more to talk about. We'll have more with Thomas Ranieri after this. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Thomas Ranieri, He's an attorney who was witnessing some shenanigans, to put it lightly, happening there in Pennsylvania. And so in that last segment, you were giving a really chilling account of what this guard had seen. This is right out of the gate on Election Day, as soon as you show up there at the canvassing.
Pre-canvassing. Center. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
sure.
Pre-canvassing is very important. There's a very big difference.
I think you guys do it somewhat differently than we do it here in Oregon. Explain to our listeners the difference between the canvassing and pre-canvassing and a poll, those things.
Sure. Yeah, certainly. So it's all very important. Each individual method of voting has its own legal rules and regulations. And so the law sort of starts with the idea that voting in person is the preferred form of voting, right? We want you to show up because then we can check your ID, we can check you off your voter poll, do the list, you vote your vote. If it is not immediately counted, it is counted soon thereafter. It is definitely in place to be counted at the end of the election day. And there's not a lot of, because it's all happening on one day, it's very hard to mess with the votes, or it's more hard to mess with the votes that you vote on election day. They're more reliable votes. So we prefer those. Then the next step down is your overseas and military ballots. They have exhaustive, unlike in the states who have an incentive to not keep their voter rolls up to date so they can cheat, which is something that Pennsylvania's been doing since, my grandfather lived there. And he told me about it. So they know. People in Pennsylvania know. That's a side thing. But the military and overseas ballots, those are kept by the federal government. Those rules are kept by the government. They know where these people are. So it's really hard to spoof those. Then you have, the mail-in and absentee ballots, which are technically they're an inferior form of voting. They're still legal because there are, obviously there are statutes creating them, so they're legal in the sense that they are creatures of the government that created them. But they are voted, it's like pre-voting. You're filling out your ballot and you're asking them to count that ballot as though it were
in person
voted
right
on election day. It's one of the reasons why you can go to the poll on election day, even if you have voted absentee and then vote in person, because your voting in person trumps your absentee ballot. There are certain rules about that as well. If you voted your ballot, you have to vote a provisional ballot and then reassert your vote on a provisional ballot to cancel out your priorly voted absentee ballot or mail-in ballot. Now, this is all just to give you a sense of the inferior form of why, legally speaking, mail-in voting is an inferior form, because you don't know who mailed the ballot. See, unlike a day of election, you go in, they know who you are. Like I said, they check you off a list, they see your face, they see your ID, they know one person, one vote, boom, done. Now, when you mail it in, you don't know where it's coming from. The chain of custody begins when the mailman picks it up. Up until the point where the mailman picks it up, you have no way of knowing
sure
who sent that ballot in. So what we've done, or what Pennsylvania did, is they created a system where you have this outer envelope. The outer envelope, they call it the outer envelope. I like to call it the security envelope, which has the address of the pre-canvass location on the front of it. The canvassing is the counting and verification of votes on election day. So a mail-in ballot or an absentee ballot is pre-canvassed because it was voted before election day. So it was before the canvass, pre-canvass.
I see.
So when people talk about pre-canvass work, what they're talking about is specifically to do with mail-in and absentee ballot, voting. And the difference between canvassing and polling is a poll watcher. So we were talking earlier how when you mail your ballot in, the chain of custody begins when the post office gets it. And it's the problem is that we don't know who filled the vote out. And the
I lost my train of thought.
I apologize. Sure,
that's okay. I'd like to get back to the guard. That was at a pre-canvassing spot, correct? Or canvassing
right, yes.
spot?
The guard was at the pre-canvassing location.
So
yes.
He had seen this machine turn on the night before. They were running ballots
right.
through it. And then what
yes.
else did you see that day? And as I understand it, you weren't even able to actually see those ballots. You guys had to stand back and watch through a camera.
Well, right. No, it was... if you think of one big rectangle and then two small rectangles attached to the big rectangle, basically in the big rectangle, Half of the rectangle was at the voting machine. I think it was the voting machine. At the very least, it had a bunch of the canvas workers, the pre-canvas workers, and I think the voting machines. And then there was a line of tape, kind of cutting them off from the rest of the rectangle. And then the other part of the rectangle was they had these strings hung up with these little, really bad, obviously, you know, low cost, low quality video cameras placed like 20 feet away, 30 feet away. And there were just like four cameras, and they were looking at like, it should be like the eye in the sky, right? Like if you were in a casino, if you're going to do this properly, you know, you want to, and what is casinos, they want to make sure that the little pieces of paper don't get manipulated, which is what we're doing. And so there should be a camera, an eye in the sky, which is looking down on the tables. It doesn't really matter who's doing the work. It shouldn't matter. What should matter is what's on the piece of paper that's in front of that person.
And you're not able to see any of that.
And you can't. Yeah, no. We could see the people, but not the ballots, which is exactly the opposite of what pre-canvas watching is supposed to be about, because the outer security, this is how you make sure that the ballot, this is the way that Pennsylvania tries to make sure that the ballot inside of a mail-in envelope is good, is true and accurate, is by having an outer envelope certified by the elector, that is to say the person who's voting, and then an inner security envelope, secrecy envelope, excuse me, which should be completely blank except for what was pre-printed on it, which is official election mail or something like that. Now, if there is anything on the secrecy envelope which tends to identify the elector, his political preferences, his preferred candidate, or otherwise trying to communicate something to the worker inside of the pre-canvas location, it is a disqualification. It disqualifies the vote. It's not a validly voted vote. This is not a validly submitted ballot, and therefore is not a vote and cannot be counted. If it doesn't have the certificate on the outside, the outer security envelope, or there is markings on the inner secrecy envelope, either one of those situations leads to the ballot being declared an invalid attempt to vote and it cannot be counted. The only other way that happens is if there is no inner secrecy envelope. If the person votes what's called a naked ballot, that ballot also, because it has revealed to the worker, the pre-canvas worker, the preferences of the elector, the ballot cannot be voted, because at that point, the person who's voting is not the elector, it's the poll worker.
So there are safeguards in place that in a normal situation, you would be able to be looking over the shoulder and saying, these are valid, these can be counted, these can't. But because you're watching through a camera from 20 feet away, you can't see any of that. So there's essentially no point in you guys being there, it sounds like.
Yes, exactly. That's correct. There was no point. We had no meaningful access, as they say in the lawsuit.
Wow.
But the rectangles, the side rectangles is where they put us. They put us in one of the side rectangles with a couple of crappy televisions, with grainy photos, where we watch people do stuff, and we had no way of.
And the only reason that you would want to do that, it seems, is if you intend to cheat, because otherwise I can't see why you would do that. Okay, let's go and take a break there. Come back, we'll be talking more with Thomas Ranieri. Coming up, we'll be talking some more about what happened at the Supreme Court. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show, talking today to Thomas Ranieri. He's an attorney who was there on the ground in Pennsylvania witnessing some real irregularities. And, we're talking during the break there. It's so much of this sounds like they were just trying to overwhelm the system. This is a type of Saul Alinsky thing. You're just going to overwhelm the system. And it really sounds like the same potential for fraud in Pennsylvania is the same that happens here in Oregon and a lot of other states across the U.S. You get the votes to the polling places. They're checked by one or more gatekeepers. There are various safeguards intended to protect the vote. But then once they get past that gatekeeper, the ballots are they're effectively thrown into a big giant bin. And because there's no means to tie a ballot to a voter, all of the ballots now in that bin are problematic, because once they're open and added to the bins, you can't separate them out from the valid bins from the fraudulent ones. Is that correct?
That is precisely correct, and it's. I don't mean to rain on anyone's parade, but the fact of the matter is that a common practice among unethical canvas and pre-canvas workers is to take ballots that have either been undervoted, which means voted for some things and not others, and then fill in their political preferences, or they will have blank ballots that they fill out and then shuffle into the vote stack. And at that point, once a ballot is gone from an envelope, it is, there's, like you were saying, there's no way to check its provenance. And so that's why it's so important that we have these indicia of reliability, first at the poll places and then also in the pre-canvas, the mail-in ballot and absentee voting. So once you've done that, though, the whole thing gets knocked out. So these people who dropped off the 100,000 ballots in Michigan, I think it was, the reason why they might get away with that is because you can't, how do you know?
Right.
How do you know which one of the ballots that was counted that they dropped off was one of their ballots? And how do you know who they were voting for? Now, I mean, it seems perfectly clear to us, but we couldn't legally prove that. And that's what we need to be able to do, is we need to be able to legally prove that votes are not valid, that they are not actual votes.
Well, you witnessed a whole bunch of other shenanigans that happened there, and that's the lightest, politest term I can use on air. You talked about how your hotline for reporting irregularities apparently had been hacked in that area. In some areas, Republican poll watchers were being ejected or simply refused entry to witness these votes. They had fake groups posing as voting officials to help people cast their ballots. You had mentioned earlier that machines weren't zeroed out, and you don't know the status of those.
We don't know. What I said earlier was that I didn't know.
Right.
We were not allowed to inspect to make sure that. So the important, it needs to be, because what the mainstream media and the Democrats are going to use any kind of technical thing to say that I'm lying.
Sure.
So I need to be very precise. The issue now is not whether or not election fraud has occurred. The issue is whether or not, at this stage of the inquiry, we have enough evidence which makes us think that it might have occurred and thus could warrant further investigation. A piece of evidence supporting that assertion is the fact that we were unable to observe that the machines were zeroed out at the beginning of the election day. That is an indicia of deception. That should then warrant a larger investigation. Saying that this happened for certain is something very different than saying that we have the evidence necessary to prove that it could have happened, and therefore we need to really get in deep and get granular to make sure that it didn't. And if it did, to remedy the situation.
Sure.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's perfectly fine, and I understand your reasonings for doing that. I want to talk, though, in the time that we have left, about what happened with the Supreme Court in the United States, because it's our understanding that in the recent court case, you had, I think, the Secretary of State for Pennsylvania go to the Supreme Court and say, look, we've got this system figured out. We're going to separate out all these ballots that come in after the polls close. We'll keep those segregated and locked away. And then after the Supreme Court then said in a 4-4 tie, said, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. That they then decided to change the rules after that ruling from the Supreme Court that allowed them to do that. And they said, oh, no, we're going to mix everything in now. So you've got a situation.
No, they didn't say they were going to mix everything in. They said that they were going to keep them segregated but count them.
Right. Okay.
And that's important. It's an important difference because, I mean, ostensibly, we should be able to say in this room, these ballots were voted after 8, and in this room, these ballots were voted before 8 on election day.
So
now I don't know whether go on.
Well, I was going to say, so have those votes then that came in with that Supreme Court decision, have they gone ahead and counted those and then mixed them into that big giant bin?
So the answer to that question is we don't know. At least I don't know. I don't know what they've done. I suspect we won't know until we get discovery, because what we do know is that I think around 30, well, based on the last time I checked, around 33 Pennsylvania counties haven't even certified that they segregated the ballots in the first place. So even though they were directed to by the Secretary of State in the memo that she sent to the Supreme Court, and she did reiterate the fact that the ballots should be segregated, but they should also be counted, which is where the change occurred. And that, in a legal way, you're not allowed to play silly buggers with a court. Like, you really shouldn't. You're going to get bench slapped.
Yeah. So that's the question then, is they essentially told the Supreme Court one thing, and then turned around and did something different. I mean, is there any ramifications for that?
Well, I mean, if I'm the fact of the matter is that I have to think that Alito and the rest of the conservative justices are concerned about the irregularities they're seeing. And the fact is that Democratic cheating is something that has been going on since forever. And Republicans did it too back in the day. But everything I've seen indicates that everyone that I've been working with was really clear on the idea that we want to really just make sure it's fair, that the best way of making sure that they don't cheat is by holding them to account and holding them to the standard that the law says. But the problem is that no one else in the Pennsylvania government has any interest of actually following the law and following procedure, because then they might lose their job.
Mm. Well, unfortunately, we're up against the clock here. This is a fascinating discussion. It's going to be I think the fate of the nation hangs right now on Pennsylvania. So we hope that Alito will not take kindly to having been essentially lied to. Thomas Rainier, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I hope you guys can hold on. I have to say I feel terrible for all the conservatives in Portland who have to live with the insanity you have to live with.
That is for sure. You've seen him on Newsmax, Fox News, and others, and he's become a regular guest here on iSpy Radio because we thoroughly enjoy his insights. I'm talking about James Herson. He's a New York Times bestselling author, international business attorney, news analyst, cultural commentator, and social media scholar. James, it's great to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you. And I'm looking forward to talking about the baseless, unsubstantiated, and non-existent subjects dealing with the election.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny how people every year forget that, it's not up to the news media to certify who wins, but everybody's acting like Joe Biden has already won. And the only people that have called that is the AP and I think Fox. And that's it. You know, it's places like Real Clear Politics haven't even awarded Joe Biden enough to get over the 270 because there's so many irregularities that are out there. One of the things that has just shocked me as we've gone through this process is the sheer size of the theft that we're seeing. In PA alone, I mean, it's daunting. But to add to that, it looks like this is a very well-coordinated plan among five Democrat-controlled states. You've got massive widespread coordination out there. In the past, it seems like they've tried one trick here, one trick there. But this time, it's like all five of these states all decided they were going to throw every trick that's ever been played and then invent some more and multiply all of that by a factor of 20 and then turn around and say, well, Joe won, just shut up and don't question it.
Well, it's clear. Look, if you have a series of attempted coups like we have seen over the last 4 years, you have the Mueller attempted coup, you have the media attempted coup with a series of people, Michael Avenatti, Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, and each time the walls are closing in and it's over for Trump. And then, of course, the fake impeachment. So, of course, the left and all of its minions are going to pull out all the stops, especially they hinted it in the lead up to the vote when Hillary Clinton said, under no circumstances should Joe Biden concede. There was a weird kind of false confidence considering the fact that no one would show up for the rallies, that the candidate is a cadaver avatar that really is completely unfit for the presidency. There was no enthusiasm whatsoever. So, yeah, they had a series, and this has gone on for a long time, a series of cheat techniques, and the election turned into what it is. There's 73 million Americans who look at this election and see it as a kind of a hoax, that it's not a legitimate election. In the lead up, there were scores of lawsuits in all the swing states by Democrat-funded lawyers trying to undermine voter integrity.
Yes.
By blocking updating voter rolls that had dead people and ineligible voters on them, extending deadlines to vote, asking courts to say that signatures don't have to match. What kind of political party would actually advocate that? Is a political party that seeks fraud, seeks to encourage fraud, seeks to create fraud. And it's looking like, as we discussed, the biggest area of the fraud may well be this Dominion software, these voting machines. The president retweeted a story from the White House correspondent from One America News, Chanel Rion, where there was an estimate, and I'm sure this is from an IT expert, that 2.7 million votes were lost by the Trump campaign due to some sort of shenanigans in the software. 2.7 million being a very large number, but we do know from reports that there was a county, a couple of counties in Michigan and a couple of counties in Georgia already where the votes were switched, and that this software is in 30 states, in all the swing states. And I'm old enough to remember when the Democrat Party and the Republican Party were saying, you know, we got to get away from these voting machines. These voting machines confuse people. They are, in fact, confusing, and they're open for people like Vladimir Putin to manipulate. And so we got to go to paper ballots because there's a track record. If you do have a recount, you have something that you can actually touch and hold. Well, guess which party in the lead up to the presidential campaign and election in 2020 was pushing against paper ballots?
Shocking how that is.
Voting machines. Of course, it was the Democrat Party.
Yeah, and I'm old enough to remember just 4 years ago when Obama said that our elections are safe and you really can't hack into them. It's almost like they spent the last 4 years trying to figure out, how do we hack the system?
That's exactly right. Now, in Michigan, the first county that was discovered, and of course the press calls this a glitch. It's a glitch. Glitch implies it's an accident. Well, a very prominent lawyer who happens to be General Michael Flynn's lawyer, who I know, Sidney Powell, very trustworthy, very experienced, is being castigated as a conspiracy theorist because she has gone on TV and said, this looks exactly like the kind of software developed by the military, add-ons that allow votes to be changed. Hammer and scorecard. And that has to be investigated by experts. So there are brilliant forensic IT experts who know how to look at computer code, who know how to track these things, who are going to be brought in either through court order or through voluntarily in at least places like Georgia and other states, and probably in Arizona. And we're going to find out shortly. But the amazing thing is, this is a very strong argument that bears on the future of the country. It bears on representative democracy. It bears on whether votes really count. It matters to all Americans. And yet, we have the media absolutely blatantly suppressing stories and lying to the American people. A prominent lawyer who worked for George W. Bush in the Bush v. Gore challenge in the year 2000 is named Benjamin Ginsburg. A quote from him, I think it's a couple of days ago, he said, quote, I'm confident that there's no evidence of fraud in this election. That on its face is disingenuous. It completely destroys this gentleman's credibility.
Yep.
Because when there's an ongoing investigation and there's already 240 affidavits.
Sure. It's very much like, it's very much like all of those
voting and all.
it's very much like all of those right. intelligence agencies agents are coming on saying, oh, yeah, all of this Russian intelligence stuff, that's perfectly right, because even though we haven't seen any of the evidence, we know it's true. Let's go ahead and take a break there. Everyone stay with us. We'll have lots more with James Herson after this. And welcome back. Talking today to James Herson. He's a New York Times bestselling author, international business attorney, analyst, cultural commentator, and social media scholar. But you can also find all of his great writings up on jamesherson.com. We'll link that up on ispyradio.com. We're talking today about the fraud in the system that we've been seeing right now. And the complete lack of trust right now is just astounding when it comes to the media, where they have been pushing these narratives. They're swearing that Biden has won. There are thousands of cases out there outstanding that could have an impact on the outcome of some of these state elections. Georgia has already declared that they're going to have a hand recount. So I think for the media to be saying that somehow Joe has won, I think we are a long way from saying that. We were talking during the break there about Fox News, and even though we're coming up into the holiday season, I think we're starting to see the exodus, actually, because I'm seeing people that are exiting from Fox News and also places like Facebook and Twitter. They're all leaving these places. What did you make of Fox News calling the race for Arizona when they did, essentially when the polls were still open? People were still in line when they were calling that. I can't imagine that didn't have an impact there.
Oh, basically Fox News made a decision to abandon the people that made them. Mm-hmm. And that's why people universally, I mean, it's just that their ratings are crashing. I saw a beautiful tweet today. It said Fox News ratings are crashing faster than Joe Biden's GPA. I thought that was perfect. But I want to say something, you know, actually with a straight face, Brett Baer and Marcia McCallum sat there, as of course did all the media. And on election eve, with a straight face, they reported something that was monumental, and they didn't comment at all. It has never happened in America, ever. Every single swing state where Donald Trump was in the lead that was governed by Democrats, at this almost the exact same time,
yes,
stopped.
Yes, yes.
They stopped their process. It's never been explained. And then 73 million people who voted for Donald Trump watched, if they stayed up, or they found out the next day, that all of a sudden, for example, in states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, massive piles
yes.
of votes came in after
appear.
The stoppage,
yep.
a little after the stoppage, that were all for Biden in
yep.
massive numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trump was ahead in Pennsylvania by 700,000 votes, I believe.
Yes, yeah, 700,000.
In the high 60s, under normal circumstances, the state would have been called for Trump. There were some
sure.
Faces of consternation over there at CNN when those numbers were coming in.
Michigan, he was up by like 300,000, I believe.
That's right. And so how in the world do you explain that? And on a smaller scale, a few days after the election in California, in the 21st district, a Republican pulled ahead in a House race. And all of a sudden they announced, we have to stop counting because of COVID. And we won't start counting for over a week, they said.
Yeah.
So they want to deny the projection of an upset win in the bluest of blue states, which, by the way, is an incredible statistical anomaly,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that the Republicans did not lose across this country a single House race, not
yeah.
one.
Yeah, after
and
Fox News was saying they were going to lose at least five.
And Fox News projected that, you know, Arizona, and that the Republicans have lost the House, but that's not even out of the question. Republicans could take the House, depending on these recounts. You know, my prayer is, you know, we talked earlier about Georgia. Georgia has the two senators that were below 50% and mm-hmm. facing a runoff, and now we have Thomas Friedman, the apparatchik for the communist Chinese urging people to temporarily move to Georgia. Of course, Democrat people.
Oh my word.
That the nightmare scenario, Jerry Yang said he's moving temporarily to Georgia. So the nightmare scenario of Biden in the White House, Pelosi controlling the House, and a 50-50 Senate where the tie is broken by Kamala Harris, which then means the end of two-party rule in the United States of America.
Yes,
that is a one-party nation.
Yes,
and the end of the judiciary, the end of separation of powers, the end of balance of powers, because if Democrats ever get that kind of power again, they've already said they'll end the filibuster, they'll abolish the Electoral College, they'll expand the Supreme Court, they will bring in Puerto Rico and D.C. as states, they'll destroy the chances of any other party being in power ever, and then they're free with the filibuster gone to pass the new Green Deal, to open up the borders, to take away our guns.
And that is always, and that is always the way of socialism and communism. It's not about competition. It's about eliminating competition. Let's go and take a break there. We don't want to leave you without hope. There is a lot of hope ahead. Everyone stay with us. We'll finish up with James Hurston. And welcome back in our final segment now with James Hurston. He's a best-selling author and a frequent guest here on iSpy Radio. We've been talking about the election, and in that last segment there, it's hard not to get discouraged sometimes hearing this massive voter fraud. I mean, anybody that's actually paying attention, you look at this and think, oh my gosh, they're just completely trying to overwhelm the system. But then I see great things from Lynn Wood, who was the lawyer that defended the Covington kids. Those are the kids that were portrayed by the media as the guilty one when the Native American activist was banging his drum in their face. Lynn Wood has now joined the president's legal team, and he said this. I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Quote, when I was asked by President Trump to help him in Georgia and perhaps other places around the country, I said, yeah. I also said yes, because there is a cloud over this country, and if we don't get it right and we don't figure out what happened that night, that cloud is going to get darker and darker until it turns into a storm cloud and we're going to lose our freedom. So it is time to fight back. What are your thoughts on that?
I love that, and I love Lynn Wood. He's a great trial lawyer, and we're going to need him. As a matter of fact, I have a law student that lives in North Carolina, and we're involved with a group of lawyers that are going to kind of provide the writing back up. I've actually personally been involved with more than three dozen cases before the Supreme Court of the United States. I'm very familiar with the Supreme Court. Let me tell you one thing, and you may know this already, but the media has suppressed the most powerful argument, and that is, it's a very simple one everyone can understand. It has to do with our Constitution. The Constitution gives the exclusive power to regulate and rules regarding a presidential election to the state legislatures. And that includes, of course, all of the swing states. And in Pennsylvania in particular, the state had a detailed statute, and within that statute it said for a vote to be valid, the ballot had to be in prior to 8 p.m. on election eve.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor, being a Democrat hack that he is, went to the legislature and said, well, there's COVID, so we have to change the rules. And so he said, you know, a late vote's not late, essentially was what he asked the legislature to do. And they told him, no, dear governor, pound sand. And so the governor, being a Democrat, instead of accepting that, unconstitutionally went to a hack Pennsylvania Supreme Court, Democrat controlled, and got an illicit order. Why do I say it's illicit? Because it's violative of the United States Constitution. The order on its face said they can accept these ballots, for three extra days. And that's why Justice Alito issued an emergency order saying, if you're going to go counting these late votes, you have to segregate into two piles. One pile are those that actually came in before 8 p.m. and the other pile that came in after 8 p.m. Even though I'm sure there's some workers who are not following that order correctly, and that creates, of course, other legal issues, But I think that involves a substantial amount of votes.
You know,
so
was,
the hope is that that will even shift Pennsylvania. But if that doesn't alone, then you have the Dominion software. And if that doesn't alone, then we have whistleblowers and eyewitnesses who swear under oath that they saw people changing votes. And if that doesn't change all of it, then we have the observers who were unlawfully blocked, which is another substantial amount of votes. And we have this kind of same pattern in Wisconsin and Michigan and Georgia in Fulton County, where they're going to have a hand recount. I'll give you another hope that I have sources in the state of Georgia who say that what that hand recount will result in addition to making sure that President Trump gets the state of Georgia, David Perdue, the incumbent Republican, is very likely to go over 50% in the votes, eliminating one of the runoffs, giving the Senate essentially to the Republicans, so that's 51 senators.
Right.
And therefore, the dark money, the George Soros money, all the dark money, and all the crazy people urging people to temporarily move to Georgia will be moot, and they won't bother. And I think that's something to pray for specifically.
Yes, absolutely.
But I think Americans, we have to support in any way we can this president. If we can make it to Washington, D.C., for the Million MAGA March, do it. If there are other marches in our regions, we need to show our faces. We need to show our bodies and have people know that there are a large number of Americans who care about the future of the country and our fundamental rights.
And simply will not sit by quietly and watch the election get stolen. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock. James, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You might not know this, but James is also a recording artist, and he has some great patriotic music that you can download through Spotify and Amazon and other places. Check out the links for those on today's show page on iSpyRadio.com. His God Bless America is truly terrific. I'd like to close with something else that Lynn Wood said. If you don't think this was planned, enjoy losing your freedom under the Kamala Harris administration. Be patient. Wait. It will take time. The key is to get it right. Biden has not been elected president by we the people. Media lies do not elect the president. Every lie will be revealed. The coup will fail. Pray. I couldn't agree more. As we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.